Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
See new things, try new things, go back centuries while living in the moment, forge new paths while discovering old ones, pedal, paddle, and paint while trekking, tasting, and tailoring experiences that transform you into a better version of yourself. Immerse yourself in the world by activating your mind, your heart, and your body on a river cruise exclusively from Avalon Waterways. Save with limited time offers at avalonwaterways.com. Avalon is cruising. Elevated.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
We need to move our criminal justice system into the direction of the 21st century.
His special directives that he's enacted has given criminals kind of a get-out-of-jail-free card.
We need to use science and data in order to address public safety, but violent crime.
His data and science is completely flawed.
Nobody's safe in Los Angeles because of District Attorney Gaston.
You will see that not only have I enhanced public safety.
Don't get that name on my face. That's a champ right there.
I am absolutely outraged at the lies that Mr. Gascon is spewing.
He has no business implementing laws of his own personal choice, which we voted against.
We've done so in a way that is much more both physically and socially responsible.
Not only is he breaking the law, but he is not doing what he is supposed to do as a district attorney, and that is protect his victims.
He is in the wrong office. He should have been a public defender.
He's voted in. He can be voted out.
Salute. Celebrating us going home on this Gaskin direct.
Crime is at a historic low in this nation. It's a historic low in the state.
That's a bunch of baloney to me.
And now, for an update on the recall of L.A. County District Attorney George Gascon, here's John and Ken.
All right, and we are going to talk now with
Tim Leinberger.
Yes, Tim Leinberger
is coming on the show. Tomorrow's the big day. They have to turn in the signatures to the Los Angeles County Registrar of Voters. They have turned it into something of an event. I'm sure there'll be media there. We'll get the full update, but finally we're going to culminate with this part of the recall.
All right, let's put Tim up. Hello, how are you?
Hey, gentlemen, thanks so much for having me.
Well, what's the status here? Are you talking numbers today, or we have to wait till tomorrow?
So unfortunately, you're going to have to wait till tomorrow for the final number. What I can confirm to you today is that we're going to be submitting well over the 566,000 that are required, and we believe we'll be submitting enough to ultimately qualify. So we're excited about getting to this point and just ready to get George Gascon out of office.
So you have enough to account for whatever they're going to throw out?
We believe we built that cushion. We reached the raw signature amount as of mid-June there, so we've been really trying to build the cushion over the last few weeks. And even today, we're not letting up. If people still haven't turned in their signatures yet, our West Los Angeles office is the only location that's still open, and that's up on our website with the address and contact information. So we've still had people driving from across the county showing up today with 5 or 10 petitions, and we'll take every last one we can get.
So it came. The petitions still kept coming in even after the announcement that you'd hit that minimal number back in mid June.
Yes, and we definitely encouraged that just because we knew we were going to need to build that cushion for those that are inevitably invalidated for whatever reason. So we've really tried to build as high of a threshold as we could, and we'll know that final count tomorrow. But we're confident we have it. And basically what you're seeing here is just hundreds of thousands of people literally speaking up in a resounding way to get justice and restore public safety. So we think it's quite a monumental effort here.
Did you see a spike after this situation with the two El Monte cops who got murdered?
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. I think after so many of these tragic events that you've seen play out over the last year and a half or so, you do see increased engagement. I know for our volunteers and paid signature guys on the ground, it's been really easy to collect signatures over the last few weeks and get people to come up and sign. So certainly that happens. I think it's just unfortunate that it takes that and that we've gotten to this point and that this is all required and that those individuals even have to go tell their stories. I feel so bad for the victims who have to now or feel like this is their fight too, just because they've been thrown into this. They're not political people. They want nothing to do with this, but now they've found themselves wrapped in the middle of it all.
What they're doing is they have to campaign on the deaths of their loved ones in order to remove Gascon, and that has got to be terribly painful.
It makes me sick to my stomach. I mean, some of the conversations I've had to have with these individuals over the last year have just been really difficult, and it's hard to listen to their stories, but it's why we're all doing it. And I know, you know, we're extremely grateful for all the attention that your show has given the effort. And, you know, we just hope we can get them the outcome that they deserve here in this case.
How are you doing on the money end of this? Because if we do qualify, you guys do qualify this for the ballot, there's still going to be a campaign ahead to get the votes to recall them from office.
Yeah, that's correct. You would see a full swing campaign campaigning for the yes vote. In terms of our resources, we've, you know, had a lot of generous donors through this past 160 days, and we've raised a significant amount of money, but that's all gone towards signature collection because it's such an expensive task. So we'll need to do that again. But luckily, we've had very generous people and people who are willing to step up and put in their time and money to make this happen. So I think if we get to that point, it'll be a good problem to have. And persuading the electorate on the yes vote on that will be the easiest task of this whole endeavor.
What's the rule on replacing him? Are there going to be a set of candidates? Is it similar?
Correct. It would function like the California gubernatorial recall. You would have a yes or a no vote. And then if that yes vote cleared 50%, you would select your other option, and that highest vote getter would become the district attorney. And that'll probably take place either in a special election or somehow if the registrar counted really quickly, I guess they could potentially squeeze it into November. But that seems unlikely with the timeline at this point.
Are there any candidates likely to announce?
You know, I've heard a lot of different names. I'm sure you've heard from some of them yourselves. So at this point, I'm pretty sure that just about anybody would do a better job than George Gascon. I know for our end of it, we'll likely be focusing on just that yes vote and then letting people make the decision. But I know there's a number of people that are interested in and looking at it, and I'm sure would do a much better job at actually enforcing the law and carrying out the duties of the district attorney.
So we may not be looking at November for this vote, huh?
Yeah, it's very possible. The registrar has 30 days to count after our submission day, and then there's a process for figuring out what that ballot looks like and who goes on there. So as of now, I would say the timeline would put us into a special election in December or January. But who knows what the registrar does. They may even only count a sample batch of 5%. Which could expedite some of that counting process, and I'm not sure how that would affect the timeline. And if they
how does that work? They do a sample of 5%, and then if it hits, if they have a certain number of or certain percentage of approved ballots, they don't bother to count the whole 100%.
Correct, but then you essentially, my understanding is they would count the whole 100%, even if they determined they had that percentage. So it's not really a great situation. Ideally, we're pushing them to count every single petition that we've submitted, especially given just the sheer magnitude that we're submitting. So hopefully they do that. And regardless, hopefully they view it as we do, that we have the validated signatures there that we need to initiate this recall. So
That was a big expense sending a recall petition to every single registered household. Was that worth it? Did you get a good return on that?
You know, there was a decent return. It wasn't the end-all, be-all for this effort. It was a supplemental piece that I know we're glad we got to do. But in terms of the bulk of signature collection, that's still coming in through paid. And our volunteers have really stepped up over the last few weeks. And to your question earlier about the increased enthusiasm, certainly that's shown. And really, we've just tried to use all these different aspects of collecting these signatures and finding the most efficient way to do it and trying out different things and optimizing those, because it's just, it's such a big number. So it's been a helpful supplemental piece, but just one of many, you know, areas where we've tried to focus on.
So tomorrow at 2 o'clock is the scheduled big event then?
That's correct. We'll be down at the LA County Voter Registrar in Norwalk, with a big moving truck coming with all of our petitions, our supporters, recall, co-chairs, the victims, the rank and file prosecutors who have been so instrumental in this effort. We'll all be out front there to hand in the petition. So, again, kind of a bittersweet moment of we're glad we've gotten to this point. And I know everybody's just relieved with all the work that's been done. But at the same time, just terrible we even have to do this.
Yeah, I don't think most people understand just how difficult it is to do what you and your organization have done. It is monumental to do a recall on this level, you know, a countywide level, a county with 10 million people. And because it's a high bar, you know, there's a lot of registered voters.
600,000 signatures.
Yeah, I mean, that is not easy to do. And it's also an office that most people don't pay attention to, which is why this happened, because people don't pay attention to who's the DA. You probably can't get most people to name who the last three DAs were in L.A. County.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I think per capita, this will be the most signatures collected in such a short period of time ever, to my knowledge. But I think really that just speaks to, again, it goes back to the victims who started this effort. They were the ones who spoke out and stood up and told their stories from day one. They were the first people to feel the impact of George Gascon's policies directly. And then they went out and relived these horrific events every day just so the public could be aware. So just a credit to them.
All right, Tim, thank you very much. We look forward to talking to you tomorrow after the big event takes place.
All right, thanks, Tim.
Thanks so much, guys.
Hi, Tim Leinberger with the Recall DA George Gascon campaign tomorrow at 2 o'clock. They're bringing in the truckloads of signatures and presenting them to the LA County Registrar of Voters. When we return, you have a shot at money.
Yeah.
Right? The keyword.
Well, when I was going to introduce Tim, you know, I stopped for a second. You know why? Because our producer wrote our guest name as Tim Lincecum.
Well, that was
the Giants pitcher.
Yeah, the Giants pitcher. That's why I'm looking at this.
Who did that?
Ray did. Tim Lincecum is what he wrote.
Instead of
Tim
Leinberger. Winner.
Yeah. Was he trying to be funny?
I don't know. Maybe it's the COVID.
COVID brain or a Freudian slip.
Yeah, I don't know what that was about. So I'm sitting there and it's like, no, it's not Tim Lincecum.
All right. We'll play for you some of the audio of Gascon. He was on NBC4, Conan Nolan's Sunday news conference. More coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.
Well, I like the way NBC4 explained this on their website. It's a story that accompanies the audio we're about to play. For a long time, NBC4's reporter Conan Nolan has had what they call Sunday news conference, where he interviews newsmakers. And George Gascon was his guest this past weekend. Family members of Corporal Michael Paredes and Officer Joseph Santana, those are the two El Monte police officers who were killed by the criminal, Justin Flores, believe Gascon's decision not to follow California's three strikes law allowed convicted felon Justin Flores to escape prison on a weapons possession charge. He was on parole when he murdered the two police officers. So we're going to play you a couple of clips from this interview. The first one's a little longer, because this is, again, Gascon trying, and of course, always trying poorly to explain his way out of this.
And it's good to remember that a judge found that Gascon was violating the law when he didn't use the three strike enhancements for crimes like this. So the shooter should have, under law, been prosecuted and sent back to prison for several years.
All right, so let's play the first clip.
You know, I don't take any of this very lightly. This has been very emotionally traumatic for me.
It sounds like it.
And there's nothing that I can say or do that will obviously bring the officers back. But I think it's important to also walk through this case. Because, first of all, this individual was released before I was in office, right? He was put out on cash bail. So if the judge or even this officer felt that he was so dangerous, they would not have allowed his release. But he had been out for many months. And the reason why he was allowed to be released was because there was nothing in the history that indicated that he had any violent tendencies. There was no history of him having weapons. Of course, we now know that his mother was actually, you know, reaching out to probation and others, asking for help. But the reality is...
Can you stop this for a second? I mean, this is very, very difficult to take. He had committed a felony, and the new charge was a felony. And it's just... That's the law.
He had a strike on his record.
A strike on his record. And it doesn't matter. Well, first of all, cash bail obviously is...
You're not allowed to change the law. In fact, as it says in this story, he got turned aside by a three-judge California appellate court because his directives are not following state sentencing law. He's not allowed to be a sovereign with absolute discretion.
He broke the law. Gascon should go to jail himself. When you have a district attorney breaking a state law on sentencing, there should be a punishment for that.
And here's what else is important to know, and we got this, John, while you were away from our good friends, deputy DAs in L.A. County, Gascon's office, who said this was his policy. They were all told to ignore strikes. He's now trying to explain this like there was nothing to indicate that he was dangerous or violent. It didn't matter.
You didn't
who
have
you were. If you had a strike, Gascon's rule, which remember when he first took over, was broad and no exceptions. You ignore the strike.
Yeah, he didn't have the discretion to do this. He didn't have the power to do this. So it doesn't matter what a judge did or the bail or this or that, the other thing. He had a strike. He had the second one coming. You had to put him back in prison.
And that way we don't have to worry about whether or not he's going to be a violent person. He's not free.
That's irrelevant. What mattered was these were two felony strikes. That's all that mattered. Well, carry on. Play more.
But the reality is he was a felon, but his conviction was one that was nearly 10 years old, where he stole a television set from his grandparents' home. And he paid the price for that. He went to prison for that. You know, I'm not diminishing, you know, we don't get to steal from our family members. But his history was one of drug addiction and drug-related offenses.
My point is it didn't matter. This man's policy was ignore strikes. And, oh, he's just been picked up on a gun possession charge. Well, you know, he didn't use the gun. Well, we don't know if he would have used the gun. Also, he's a known gang member. We learned the name of his gang, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's just that weird pleading Kermit the Frog voice is so grating on my nervous system.
It is.
And it's everything but the facts of the case, which are simple. Committed one felony, committed a second felony. Period. That's it.
Now, we're going to move to clip two because I want to play this one because he uses the word that I've learned to really hate. Everybody is now using the word politicize. Who cares? Because he's elected as an LA County DA and we attack him, it's considered politicizing the issue? Let's listen.
You know, and it's interesting that you say that because I was in communication with the chief of police that evening, not only offering support, but, you know, trying to see what we could be helpful. We were immediately reaching out to the family, and I understand, look, the family is in pain.
Right.
And I understand the narrative that they have been given.
Oh, that's right. They're thinking with emotions.
We were walled off from trying to communicate with the family from very early on. And I didn't want anyone to think that we were somehow politicizing this. And unfortunately, this got politicized almost immediately. You know, in retrospect, should I have said something more forceful early on? Maybe, but then I would have. Then you would have been asking me, were you politicizing this horrendous event.
It's because he's only sent a message out on Twitter. So Conan Nolan was asking him, how come he didn't do more? And then he said he got walled off by the families. Well, of course, your policies killed their family member, their police officer, family member.
Why would they want to talk to you? You made it clear.
You're responsible.
You made it clear that, like Garcetti, you consider police to be the bad guys. Police are the killers. Police are the one who need to be arrested and charged and sent to jail. That was your whole platform, is that police are bad. And we have to understand the criminals and give them a break and give them comfort. And that's what you've done.
Oh, and besides, I want to go back a moment because I just saw an email from a listener. You know, he was arrested in 2020 when Jackie Lacey was still DA. But because we had COVID, everybody was released. Nobody was held, right? So Flores on the gun possession charge.
Yeah.
The case didn't come up until 2021 when Gascon took over, and that's when he went easy and ignored the strike. So let's just clear that up. Because Gascon tried to make it sound like, and that, well, they didn't see him as very violent either. They didn't see anybody as violent. Nobody got bail. They wouldn't hold on to anybody because of their stupid COVID excuse.
It doesn't matter. Your judgment is all that matters. You invoked an illegal policy. It ended up causing two cops to be murdered. You are 100% responsible for Flores being free. Nobody else. You, right. Because of your illegal policy.
We got more coming up.
God. John and Ken, KFI.
You know what's happening in just 3 days? The Moist Line comes back.
Oh,
how excited
wow.
are you?
It's been so long.
It has not played for a couple of weeks. 1-877-MOIST-86 for your messages. I'm sure there'll be some old ones in there that are still usable, but we can certainly use some fresh material. 1-877-664-7886. Coming up after 5 o'clock, the mass shooter suspect in Illinois, the suburb outside of Chicago that has now killed 7 and wounded over 30 people, got into a lot of trouble back in 2019 with police visits, even threatening to kill his whole family. Nevertheless, when he turned 21, he was able to buy 5 weapons. Oh, well. We'll talk about all this next hour.
They have the red flag laws in Illinois, but I guess the implementation is busted. So everybody prattles about, these laws need to be passed. We need the stricter gun control laws. Stuff gets passed and they're not implemented.
I guess there's a time limit on it, right? He was only 19 at the time that they came to the house
crazy
and took away the knives.
Never gets cured. Crazy.
And besides,
never goes
they'll say
away.
He was only going to kill people with knives. We never heard anything about guns.
You know something? I'm tired of hearing everybody's excuses. I'm tired of hearing the excuses of impotence. Oh well, we needed him to say that. Nobody is going to say specifically the day and time where they kill. All right, because then they'd get caught. So they're not going to do that. So this is a bad way to try to stop these killings.
All right, we'll bring you all the latest. He has been charged officially with 7 counts of first-degree murder.
Impotence.
Now we move over to the water crisis. We talked years ago, and again recently, about one of the number one users of water in the state of California. Of course, it is agriculture. But more specifically, it's the good old almonds. And the El Segundo Times did a story. This person I've never heard of, Luis Sahagún. Sahagún?
Sahagún.
Anyway, Sahagún. He did a story on the almond industry, and there are 7,600 California almond farms that produce 82% of the world's almonds.
Mm-hmm.
However, most of them are sent around the world to places like China, India, and the EU. And the problem, as pointed out in the story, is there's no way to ship them right now. They have got billions of pounds sitting in warehouses because of the whole problem with the ports. And there was such a push to get materials into the United States from places like China, nobody was interested in turning around and taking the almonds back. They were in a hurry just to get right back to their country ports and bring more garbage goods to the United States. So because of this, the almonds have been sitting in warehouses through 21, now into 2022.
You know something?
They do have a long shelf life, though.
Well, good. But they're a huge waste of water. Almond farmers use 11% of our available water. 11%. That's preposterous, ridiculous, absurd. I believe about over 70% of the almonds are shipped overseas. You might think agriculture is a big deal in California. It's 2% of our economy. It's not worth it. It's not going to bring the economy down by stopping the almond companies from taking 11% of our water every year.
Almonds are the number one California agricultural export. Last year, it was $4.7 billion.
In the grand scheme of things, it's nothing. All right? Our economy...
Well, yeah, if it's sucking up all the water, let somebody else grow the almonds. I don't think it's that critical.
Because almonds are not absolutely necessary
in life. Let's shut these farms.
Yeah, really.
That much water.
You know what? Cut it by half, and that would give us an extra 5% water supply. Then we wouldn't have to deal with water shortages and water restrictions and ridiculously high prices here among the people. It's one thing. People want to put animals over people. Wait, there's no need to put almonds over people.
1.1 gallons of water to grow an almond. So to grow a pound of almonds, 1,900 gallons of water. And a pound of almonds ain't much.
A pound of almonds is a 1,900...
1,900 gallons.
1,900 gallons.
Almost 2,000 gallons of water for a pound of almonds.
That is a crime.
They are a very thirsty crop, as it says here.
That is terrible.
And it's all year round the almonds grow.
I don't understand. How much money are the almond companies paying off the politicians? Like, how much money? Not just campaign contributions, but all the under-the-table bribery that goes on.
Well, if they're after us about our damn lawns and our showers and our toilet flushes, why aren't they on top of the almond people as much?
Newsom,
the story's not about them getting water. The story's about how they just can't get them shipped out of the country right now because of the problem at the ports. That's their problem right now.
Well, Newsom wants everyone to reduce water use by 15%, but we're spending 1,900 gallons for every pound of almonds.
The price of almonds has fallen to an all-time low of $2 per pound. I would think it would be the opposite. If all the almonds are stuck in warehouses, you would think the price would go up because people can't get them.
I don't know. Everything's upside down right now. Everything's crazy.
It's absolutely.
Because almonds you don't need. They're nice, but you don't have to have them.
Oh, they're a good source of, there's protein.
There's a lot of sources of protein.
They're delicious.
It doesn't matter. There's a lot of delicious things. What I'm saying, it's not wheat is really important.
Well, I think John's right. If you have to weigh the positives and negatives, and we're in a water crisis.
Oh, I guess
this is probably one crop that takes up too much water. There's got to be somewhere else in the country. I mean, look at places are getting flooded right now. Can they grow them in Sydney, Australia? Hey, Sydney, Australia got 3 feet of rain? Can you imagine that?
3 feet of rain?
Feet of rain. They've had to evacuate 20 or 30,000 people.
That's about 8 years worth of water for us.
Let them grow the almonds. They have the water.
Yeah. You know what? We've had this same climate, for forever, for thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of years. This climate we're having now is no different. When they're prattling about climate change, they're full of crap. It's always been, we've always had long, hot, dry spells. That's the nature of this land that we're on. But for hundreds of thousands of years, we didn't have an almond industry that would take over 10% of our water supply. Never had that. I mean, this is the dumbest place in the world to set up a massive almond industry, a place where it doesn't rain reliably.
Apparently, too, the other nuts, they're not quite as thirsty as the almonds, but pistachios, hazelnuts, and walnuts also take a lot of water.
Nobody needs that.
Yes, we do, actually.
Nobody needs pistachios. That tastes disgusting.
I know people that are obsessed with pistachios.
They're so good.
And they ought to be put away. not you necessarily.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe.
You.
I don't know.
Put her away.
You gotta be put away.
She's a threat.
I'm a threat.
All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.
Yeah, we've learned this afternoon that a 2-year-old is left without parents. That shooting in Highland Park, Illinois, north of Chicago, the mass shooting that took place on July 4th. Apparently, the little boy was sheltered by his parents. They put him sort of underneath them, and they took the bullets. They've both been identified as two of the 7 dead. The little boy has lost his parents. We'll bring you the latest in that shooting after the news at 5 o'clock and the wacko, bizarro guy that did it.
See, that's what I'm saying when we were talking with Brad Garrett from ABC about this. Maybe we have to change the definition, the parameters of what constitutes mental illness. maybe we have to say, you know, this behavior, these kind of posts, these, when you lay out plans online on how you're going to shoot up school, maybe that's a sign you ought to be locked up, right? Maybe we need to change the traditional definitions here. Otherwise, we're just going to keep going through these incredibly sad stories like, oh, look at that. There's a two-year-old that's orphaned now. Parents took bullets from crazy
guy.
Well,
mental illness comes together with evil. Those are the two things that come together that make for a mass shooting. Most mentally ill people are not violent. But mentally ill people who are evil as well.
Well, we could call this evil. There's like nothing in the law that governs evil, really. By name. But what I'm saying is, let's create a useful loophole here and say, wow, that guy's really, really sick. Let's lock him up for a while and do some tests here.
All right, we were just talking about the California almond farmers. We're going to talk about different farmers, and we're going to play you a little bit of audio. Apparently, Dutch farmers are so upset over new laws in that country that are trying to limit nitrogen pollution. You may not know this, but agriculture does put out a lot of nitrogen emissions. And the Dutch have decided to cut their nitrogen emissions by 50 to 90% by the year 2030. So the Dutch farmers apparently have gone to the homes of government officials, and it looks like they're pouring manure on government offices, and they're bringing their cattle there, their cows.
Good. You know,
they believe this could cause the end of one-third of Dutch farms if this law takes effect.
Do people want to eat?
They're pouring manure on government offices, flooding streets. It's an uprising because of this government trying to...
This is going to be fascinating over the next, 10, 15 years. All these stupid goals, all these stupid targets and how they're going to reduce this and that. It's not going to work because you're going to destroy modern life and people aren't going to put up with it. And, you're going to get manure dumped on your head, and you should.
They brought their cows to Parliament.
Because it's ridiculous. It has become a hysteria, a cult. It's way beyond all reason. And the solutions they have are not workable in modern society. They're simply not. You have to go back and try again. Come up with something that works.
They wanted to show Parliament, and again, Deborah Mark and the Animals, that if your laws take effect, some of these ladies, they called them, will have to go to the slaughterhouse. Because
ladies?
They can't. The cows are ladies, yes. Mm-hmm. That's what one farmer said. If nitrogen measures are adopted, one of these two ladies will not go home, will receive a one-way ticket to the slaughterhouse. Because even though they're kept for dairy production, because they have to cut back the nitrogen pollution, he won't be able to keep as many cows.
That's so sad.
He's got to give the cow a ticket out.
A lot of cows will never be born.
Cattle and fertilizers are key sources of nitrogen emissions, which supposedly is also an element of climate change.
You see, nobody spends any time looking at this because, the entire media has gone ultra woke on green ideology. But if you go through their plans and take it down the road, what would this logically mean? It would destroy our food supplies. It would destroy our transportation systems. Because they everything we do emits something into the air. And there's no way to grow food. There's no way to travel, to transport things without emitting stuff in the air. And they don't have the replacements. They don't have the replacements for fossil fuels. They say they do and they hype it up, but in truth, the solar and wind is failing to provide enough that's needed.
Oh, the electricity grid can't be big enough yet. It may never be big enough.
And I'm guaranteeing you can write this down, carve it in stone. You will see 10 years from now, nobody's going to reach any of their goals. This is going to be looked at in history as one great emotional, hysterical spasm.
So do you think these are new mob members? We're going to hear the Dutch farmers protesting in this little piece of audio.
Well, all right, let's hear it.
Netherlands is the second largest exporter of agricultural products. Look at that, the Netherlands.
Second largest in the world?
Yes, in the world.
They're not that
estimated exports of 104.7 billion euros or $111 billion in 2021.
But I bet you they get a lot of rain.
They do. I think they have the nice kind of climate.
They got the water to do it. It's not like the way we've shoehorned in all these almond farms into a dry climate.
So we're going to vote them into the mob union?
Or, definitely.
They, if they can join the Serbs and the Turks.
If they're going to bring the buckets of manure with them, sure.
They were using a wood chipper in that video, it seemed like.
Really?
That's what that noise was.
That's a nice touch.
Yeah.
It was, what did that mean? A wood chipper to put the politicians in? Or?
No, they were using the wood chipper, and then they were putting the manure in the wood chipper, and then it was spouting the manure out at the buildings.
Oh, that's terrific.
That's what that noise was.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
All right, we got
manure in a wood chipper.
We got to add the manure in a wood chipper to the dumpster.
Along with the paint splatter.
That's right. Yeah, that'll work.
Oh, so after we throw our hack in the dumpster, we covered him with manure from the chipper?
That's right. We splatter him with manure funneled through the wood chipper. Yeah.
All right. When we come back, all we know about the mass shooting yesterday in Illinois.
John and Ken Show. Deborah Mark has the news. KFI AM 640. It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences, with fewer people, and more of, well, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at AvalonWaterways.com.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.